Good morning. It's really good to be here. I was very grateful for the invitation to come and join you today. As Elaine mentioned earlier, my name is Erin Oxford. And just so you know a little bit about me, I was born here in Toronto at St. Michael's Hospital, grew up here, born and raised. I have a 15-year-old daughter named Kate, Kate with a C. That's how she used to always introduce herself. Hello, my name is Kate with a C. And I'm married to Dion, who has done similar work to me. We've journeyed together working close to the streets here in the city. And Dion and I recently celebrated our 20-year anniversary, which happened to also be the day before he was hospitalized, because Dion has multiple sclerosis, and it is getting worse, and so he will be in hospital for some time. And I say that partially because I want to also acknowledge that I'm no stranger to loss and to struggle. I also lost my mother less than a year ago after she'd lived in hospital for over 13 years. My dad died about 10 years ago, as of March, so I've been orphaned. And I'm also going to tell you a bit about the Dale, where we are also no stranger to loss together. I'm going to read from 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. In this first chapter of 1 John, we are reminded that Christ was God, manifested in the flesh, that John and now we have fellowship with the Father and Jesus and can therefore have fellowship with one another, and that there is a fullness of joy that occurs because of all of this. Today I am here to testify to the work that is happening through the Dale Ministries in Parkdale, a West End neighborhood in Toronto. And my desire is that it might serve as an encouragement to you, the community of Walmer Road Baptist, especially as I know you are embarking on a lot that must feel very new. The people of the Dale remind me on a daily basis of the presence of Jesus. A presence that, to use the words of John, I see and touch and have experience in. I suspect that as I share stories of experiencing Jesus, that memories of your own stories will also be triggered. So approximately 5 years ago, he walked into our drop-in, a tall man with very broad shoulders, a guitar slung across his back, a fistful of rings shaped like skulls, and a pretty intense attitude. I learned that he liked to be called Snake Man because his only friends were the four snakes that he shared a small rooming house apartment with. Snake Man was obviously intrigued by what was going on. I remember standing kind of below him and him saying, "What is this?" And I looked back up and I said, "Hi, we're the Dale. You're welcome to stay." Prior to Snake Man's arrival at the Dale, we were known as PNC, Parkdale Neighborhood Church. On a sunny day near the end of June 2012, I had to remove the PNC sign from both the gate and the door at 201 Cowan Avenue, the address that had been ours since 2006. For me, This act made things official. PNC no longer had its own building. We had faced this hard realization. Our funding had run its course. I became the only staff and was asked to come up with some kind of strategic plan, which was terrifying at the time. The irony, too, was that though we were flourishing as a community, we did not have the resources to continue paying rent, taking care of maintenance, or even paying for internet access. You see, we are a varied group. Some of us live rough outside, some in community housing, and only a few in houses of our own. Some of us are struggling with addiction to street drugs or alcohol or television or eating too much food. Some of us have diagnosed mental health challenges that range from depression to schizophrenia. Some of us are refugees. We range in age. We are what I like to call a motley crew. One that in large part knows what it is to be shunned and pushed away because we smell like the street. The truth is, many people have selected us as the unlovable. Some of my own most prized possessions are ones that look well-worn, have tiny fingerprints on them, or have even been broken at one time, but are too precious to discard. Similarly, my closest relationships are with people who are willing to show me their true selves, the selves that struggle and sin and who allow me to show my own true self and still love me. In an effort to silence those voices that declare us unlovable, we acknowledge our common humanity. We know we are broken and choose again and again and again to journey alongside one another toward deeper wholeness in Christ. During PNC's time of crisis, I found myself thinking of seeds. And I talk about this frequently because it had a real impact on me. We commit seeds to the darkness of the soil in order for a new plant to emerge. I knew that we needed to commit PNC to what poet John O'Donohue calls the ancient symmetry of growth, root further into the darkness and rise toward the sun. The prophet Zechariah says, "For there will be peace for the seed. The vine will yield its fruit. The land will yield its produce, and the heavens will give their due. And I will cause this remnant of people to inherit all of these things." Planting a seed and waiting for it to grow demands one to be patient. A waiting person is a patient person. The word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden there will manifest itself to us, said Henry Nouwen. The prophet Habakkuk knew something of this kind of patience. When struggling with God's apparent absence, Habakkuk was told to do the following: write down the vision clearly upon the tablets so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. To thwart doubt and prevent despair, I had to contemplate the original vision of God's loving promise, the one that captured my heart and mind and prompted me to pick up and follow in the first place. I had to contemplate the paradoxical life of Jesus, the one where being king meant dying on a cross. I wrote down the vision and promise. I read it. I committed it to memory. I had to look for it and wait for it, attempting to be patient, not always successfully, and at the same time, expecting it to arrive. All of us know what it is to wait and how uncomfortable it can be. As followers of Jesus, we are invited to learn how to focus our attention on the hope to come. We set our hearts on God's not yet seen promises rather than our unfulfilling circumstances in the present. We join the saints who even now are crying, "How long?" before God's throne, longing for the world to be put right. And so we can choose to take the long view, keep our eyes on the big picture, and walk on. Nouwen points out that waiting is not doing nothing, twiddling our thumbs, taking the couch potato position, opting out of the game. Waiting is a vital, engaged, active stance we take in the life of faith. It's a matter of responding to God in the present, right here and now, in the wilderness, and hearing and obeying the word that is spoken so often throughout Scripture. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So fast forward now to the present. PNC is now known as the Dale Ministries. We have grown and are growing into something new. On that sunny day at the end of June, we became a church without our own walls. I like to say it was the day that we spilled into the streets. That day marked the beginning of reimagining our vision. You might wonder why we would seemingly shift away from church by changing our name. But while we are very much church, we do not function in a formal or more traditional church way. We are not made self-sufficient based on tithing. Though I do want to explicitly say that our people give generously, just out of very little. Sometimes, and I'm not exaggerating, it's a handful of change. We came exceedingly close to ceasing to exist because of this. And so playing with the language that had become a barrier to our long-term stability was worth it. At the beginning of our search for a new name, I asked our community members to describe what PNC had come to mean to them. They used a number of different words, but the one that kept showing up again and again was that it was a place of safety. A dale is a valley that cuts through the mountains and where you'd go to be safe when there's a storm. So you'd go into the dale. Every day, the Dale Ministries endeavors to be a safe community for many, including me. We do this by extending the invitation to come as you are and to participate in both giving and receiving. And so in order to give some shape to this, allow me to describe a typical week at the Dale, because people always do ask how this could possibly work. So Monday, we have a drop-in at Bonar Parkdale Presbyterian Church where we share a lunch together, what we call family style. Approximately 120 to 150 people come. Of that number, 30 to 35 people, core community members, participate in the setting up of the room, the making of the meal, and the cleaning up after. Tuesdays, my coworkers and I have a staff meeting in a coffee shop. I carry my office in my bag. In the afternoon, we have a smaller scale drop-in at the back of a Salvation Army thrift store, which sounds like it wouldn't work, but it does. They have a coffee corner, and it's where they keep their books and have a few couches. Tuesday night, we have a Bible study at the St. Clair Center, which is one half of a Franciscan monk-run ministry called St. Francis Table. On Wednesdays, we have a breakfast and art drop-in at Parkdale Queen West Community Health Center. Thursday mornings, we do street outreach, which simply means we walk around the neighborhood and connect with people right where they are. On Sundays, we worship together at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary of an Anglican church. And then sprinkled throughout the week is pastoral care. We accompany people to appointments, to court, visit those who are in jail or in hospital or on the street or maybe stuck at home. And then fundraising and administration. Many people ask me, what is not having a building like? Is it hard? Would you buy one if you had a huge influx of money? I can honestly say that while there are cons to not having our own space, the pros outweigh them. I was relieved when the move out of our space was finally done. The amount of stuff that had accumulated was, at least for me, astonishing. As we purged almost all of our belongings and packed just a few, I became thankful for the freedom from things. I remember reading this: "You gain confidence through knowing that I am with you, that you face nothing alone. Anxiety stems from asking the wrong question. If such and such happens, can I handle it? The true question is not whether you can cope with whatever happens, but whether you and I can handle anything that occurs." Becoming underhoused was an opportunity for me to discover if I was asking the right question. And that was scary. For as right as I believe it was to move, it meant entering a time of unknown, of in-between, of newness. In response to the question, what is something that makes you sad? One of our youngest community members drew a picture of many stick people carrying a large box. She said she felt sad that people were carrying away her church. It was indeed what was happening in the eyes of that little person. It was important to honor that sadness. I still do. I didn't want to belittle the magnitude of the change, and so I did join with others in weeping. I also had to persist in announcing that as a community, we could exist outside of a building. I am here to say this morning that we are still a community, and that yes, though church is no longer in our name, we very much function as one. We continue to gather, to support, to create, to eat together, to question, to pray, to worship, to dance, to love. By spilling into the streets, we more fully inhabit our neighborhood. By inviting people to financially support our work, we no longer rely on a single source for our livelihood. By knocking on the doors of our neighbors, we have found space, though it does sometimes revolve, to run our programs in churches, in stores, and community centers, spaces that we don't even have the keys for, but that costs us very little, or in some cases, nothing. We have the opportunity to be shown hospitality at the same time as then giving it, which to me feels beautiful. Snake Man decided to stick around. Our journey together has been up and down, but more recently very up. He arrived at the Dale unaccustomed to experiencing any kind of community that he wouldn't get kicked out of. We've experienced his intense anger and struggle with alcohol. We've been close when he got evicted from that rooming house that turned out to be an illegal one, one that he had lived in for 7 years. We helped find him new housing and moved all of his stuff. We carried it on our backs down Queen Street West. Now Snake Man, who along the way revealed that his name is Doug, is at every single thing we do. He is learning that he is loved. He prays and plays the guitar at our worship service. He even got some of those sticky letters and put on his guitar, it says God-tar now instead of guitar. He says he's becoming a healthier person, and he's right. One patient little step at a time, he is. God is transforming Doug. The Dale did what many describe as the unimaginable by becoming a church without our own building. in the context of this little struggling church community, we are reminded of God's presence. I am. Doug is too. God has seen fit to multiply the loaves and the fishes in Parkdale, and I mean this literally, on days when there is no money to purchase food for our drop-in, we somehow have full plates. I am no longer the only staff. I was joined by community workers Joanna Moon and Megan Gillard, surrounded by a community that has heard the invitation into full participation. The ancient symmetry of growth I mentioned earlier is powerfully embodied in the poise of the trees. A life that wishes to honor its own possibility has to learn too how to integrate the suffering of dark and bleak times into a dignity of presence. Letting go of old forms of life, a tree practices hospitality towards new forms. It balances perennial energies of winter and spring within its own living bark. The tree, John O'Donohue concludes, can reach towards the light, endure wind, rain, and storm, precisely because it is rooted. Almost 6 years into this wild experiment, the tree that is the Dale still exists. And I don't know how many years Walmer has been around. How many years is 127 years in, here you are. May the work of the Dale and Walmer Road Baptist be firmly rooted in Christ. Help us, O God, to be attentive to your call to the places of pain you ask us to go. Help us to be seeds that produce your fruit. Help us, O God, to patiently wait for you and to experience hope in the most unexpected of places. May this community's confidence in Christ be refreshed even during this time of Lent, and desire for the joy of his fellowship be intensified. Amen.
I'd wondered about this and it was just confirmed. Aaron, can we pray for you and the Dale, and but especially for you? One of the things we really like to do, if you're willing, is come up and lay hands on you. So if you would be willing to come up, we'll have you stand kind of around here. And if there's anybody who wants to come up and join in prayer, I'll get you to step just a little bit forward. So, and if anybody else would like to pray out loud, I'll open us up and then reach for the microphone. God, we thank you for the evidence of your grace and your goodness that is in Erin. And the stories that she tells about the Dale, as well as those she alludes to of her own life, God, we know that you are present and you are faithful and you have showed up. And we also know, God, that it is hard, that as much as there is laughter and dancing, there are tears and loss and fights and anger. It's hard, the things that you call us to. It's hard to follow you faithfully, to live in the way that you lived. And we thank you that you have raised up and gifted people like Aaron who follow you so faithfully, who are so open and honest and vulnerable in the way that they share about that journey and learning to love in a way that Jesus loved. God, we pray that you would bless Erin, that you would bless her with your spirit, filling her with life and hope and freedom from the worries and the anxieties that accompany life in the Dale and life with her family right now. We pray that you would give her clear vision of your goodness and your presence, that you would strengthen her heart, that she would have what she needs to be able to be an encouragement to others, that you would continue to allow her to be encouraged by others, by the least likely of others. God, we pray that you would hear our prayers for Erin in this place.
Father, the psalmist says your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I invite you to pour into Aaron and the people of the Dale, the community that is there, your words that are a lamp to their feet, so their feet do not stumble in the dark and bruise them by their fall, that their feet will be confident and walk in the paths that you have for them. May your light light their path. May they have, as they walk through the community, awareness of you walking with them, of opening their eyes to see what you see, and their hearts to care with the heart that you have for the people of the Dale, for the people of the community they walk through, for Aaron to be blessed with big words and small words from you, words for the moment, words for the hour and the day, for the week and the year, words for her life with her daughter and her husband Dion. Her words that you will give her to speak will be with your care and compassion for people, with your longing in your heart. I bless you, Aaron, to know these words day by day.
God, I just thank you for Aaron's heart and for her soft heart, and I just pray that she would continue to see people through your eyes, God, and I pray that you continue to shine your light on her and her family. Pray for that Dion would come out of the hospital sooner than expected and for strengthening for his body. And I just agree with that prayer for Kate, God, that you would speak your words of comfort and of peace, that you would just be the dad that she needs right now. And I just pray for your encouragement, even this week, as Aaron opens your word and seeks you, that you would just speak directly to her heart, God. Pray for financial blessing over the Dale, God, and that even for Doug and Snake Man, I pray that you continue to work in his heart, God, this week, that he would continue to turn to you, God, and wrap her with your arms of love, and I just pray that she'd experience a big hug from you today, God.
Father God, as someone who was at Parkdale before the building was razed to the ground, and was there with David Van Essen when Parkdale neighborhood was born out of the ashes, Lord, I pray as you continue to work in this neighborhood and continue beyond the walls of a building to minister to the broken and to all those who come as they are and worship you as they are. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do your work, bringing people to yourselves, healing people, binding up the broken, and ministering in a way that brings protection, brings a sense of a place that people can go and gather and be in your presence, receiving from your word and ministering out to those around them. Continue to pour your love. Continue to pour your blessing, Lord, on Aaron and on the other workers and on the whole community, 130 strong, Lord, who meet to eat on Mondays, meet to study on Tuesdays, meet to walk the streets and to raise money, Lord. Bless all the aspects as this church continues in Jesus' name.
Lord, hear our prayers. Amen.